Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, we're diving into one of my favourite topics, our energetic connection with the animals we love. My guest is Ali Carrington, a certified animal Reiki teacher and dog behaviour specialist who blends practical understanding with a truly spiritual respect for every creature she works with. We'll be chatting about Reiki, how it can help us connect deeply with our pets, calm anxious animals, and even help us see the world through their eyes. So get comfortable, take a breath, and let's step into the peaceful, paw-printed filled world of animal Reiki. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi, Janine. Thanks for inviting me.
That's okay. Just for the listeners, so they know, I've just started Ali's Reiki 1 for animals, and I've opened it, and then I got called into business and started working. I'm a Reiki master teacher, but this is on a different level because it's with animals, not humans. So my first question, what first drew you to work with animal Reiki?
Oh, well, I mean, it might not come as a surprise because it was my dog. So I had trained as, all through Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3. So I was a Reiki master teacher with Torsten Lang of the Reiki Academy London. And that was all very lovely. And, he was at the end of those kind of courses, you're sort of encouraged, you now have Reiki, go and Reiki your plants, go and Reiki your animals, etc. Which I kind of tried, but not to a huge amount of success, which we can maybe talk about later. And we'd recently adopted an old boxer dog, a 10-year-old boxer dog from a rescue. And he'd been so poorly in their kennels that we were just actually expecting him to not live very long when we invited him home with us. And that's just what we intended, was to just get him out of kennels, just come and be with us. We've got space for you. And he did rally, actually, and he lived another 3.5 years. Wow. But during that time, he had a number of different ailments. And so I got very close to our lovely vets that were local. But at one point, we just came to the end of what we could actually do for him. It was more of a sort of chronic issue that he had. And so the vets were like, well, this is kind of it. You know, you've got to just bear with him throwing up all the time and being uncomfortable. We didn't mind the throwing up. It was his distress at it that was most of the concern. And a friend of mine suggested, put me in touch with a Reiki practitioner who came over. She actually was using self-selection as well as part of her session. And Kenny, our dog, was not comfortable with many things in life, particularly not strangers and visitors.
Yeah.
But he was comfortable with her. Wow. And so that really caught my attention. And it really sort of hooked me in to watch him be so comfortable with her as she provided just a lovely, beautiful, relaxing Reiki session for him. And it had a lasting effect. So he actually didn't throw up for about 2 weeks afterwards, which at that point in time was a real tangible difference. Yeah. So then I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? And I was just thinking to myself, well, I could, keep inviting this lady back, or I could go and learn it myself.
Yes. And give it around to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Exactly.
So I know, but our listeners don't. What exactly is it, and how does it differ from traditional Reiki for humans? Is there a difference?
I think there's a sort of starting main difference, I think, that's quite interesting to hear about when we first start talking about it. So as a Reiki practitioner, I used to invite my customers round to my house in Chiswick, where I would be running my little Reiki practice out of the front room of our terraced house. And I would have, you know, the Reiki table ready for them. They would climb up there, get relaxed, and then we would start our session. And as we all know, the Reiki practitioner, you know, starts the ritual and is then led around the customer. So we're generally standing up and we're following our intuition, following, you know, placing our hands or just hovering over the body in various different parts of that customer's body. So the customer is still and we move. Mm-hmm. When it comes to animals, because we cannot receive their verbal consent, we have to let them consent in a different way. So we should totally swap that movement, and the practitioner should stay still and allow the animal to move. And that is the sort of main practical difference, I would say. Because yeah. Reiki is Reiki, isn't yeah. it? You know, Reiki is the same for anything.
As you said, they don't have to say yes or no, do they? So
we it's so easy when we have people.
Yeah.
You know, because we can say, would you do you like hands on or do you prefer hands off? And we get that very clear answer. And that's what we work with. Whereas with animals, we have to allow them to choose. Otherwise, it's a little bit of disrespect.
Yeah. So my story, I Cece Bloom, who's my ginger, one of my ginger rescues, I found it in a bowl with two large dogs, five weeks old. Yeah. So I had to bring her home and bring her. Obviously, I'd done the Reiki. And what I found was that when I was teaching Reiki, she would come in and rub herself around everything, even at this tiny stage of 5 weeks old. And so that for me was permission. Yeah. This was the permission for me to do it. And even in her old age, when she's having a bad day, she'll come up and she'll go into a certain position. And you know, the thing is, when you're Reiki, your hands start to work anyway. So I know from her. But it's a fascinating subject, and how it works for everyone. It's amazing. So you're also qualified as a dog behavior specialist. How does that scientific or behavioral background influence your energy work and your approach to it all?
It marries beautifully, actually. So I was a dog behaviour specialist before I was involved with Reiki. And the dog behavioural approach that I teach is very quiet. It's very respectful. It's much more about what I try and teach is the language of dogs. And for, you know, we as spiritual beings having a human experience, I try and get us to step into the canine experience so that we can see the world through their perspective. And, you know, rather than coming from what we as humans want from our animals and how they fulfill our needs, actually let's dig into a little bit about what a canine's needs are. And so if we can fulfill their needs, everything becomes easier. And if we can speak their language, it's just such a beautiful thing. But we can speak their language and still be quite anxious. So we can get a certain distance, you know, a certain way in with our dogs by speaking their language. But if we speak it really calmly, you know, with a really, really lovely energy, then that brings us to that even deeper, more profound relationship between human and canine. So yeah, it marries really, really beautifully, actually, the two approaches.
So what our listeners can't see, Ali is a very calm person. When you're interviewing some people, they talk really fast, they do this, and they don't look relaxed. And she's very relaxed. So I can see why animals are relaxed around you. I just want to tell our listeners.
Well, if I could, I think I would just watch dogs all day, because I just... You know, as we all, if we're dog lovers, we just love looking at them.
Yeah.
And I watch, you know, the things that I really love to notice are when they catch a smell, and just to watch what their nose does, this tiny little part of them, just watch that, and then watch what their eyes do. Oh, yeah, I could do that all day if I didn't have to earn money.
So this is a wonderful start. I love how Ali describes letting the animals lead the session. We'll be back in just a moment with more of how you can create calm, healing energy for your own pets at home. So I am just going to hand over to our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back with Ali Carrington. My question to you is, what do you wish more pet owners understood about the way animals sense and respond to our energy? It's a hard one, that one, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. Because if it comes to dogs in particular, if I give you maybe a practical one and a more of a sort of energetic one, the practical one is understanding that as a species, we humans use eye contact completely differently to our dogs. And yet, if we don't know this, we will look at them and talk to them all day, every day, because they're our companions and we love them, and why wouldn't we? But when we do know this and we start to understand the impact of constant direct eye contact with our dogs and understand that this impact is actually adrenaline to our dogs.
Right.
And actually it is building anxiety a lot of the time. If we can start to reduce that eye contact on a daily basis, doesn't mean to say we reduce our connection, actually it builds it. But just to understand that the human species use eye contact much more directly, much more than the canine species. I'm going to say most animal species, but because of, you know, my work is mostly with dogs, then I can be really specific about that. So that's the first, if we call it homework, that I give people, because I'm a sort of emergency phone support for a couple of rescue organizations. And whatever has happened, the first thing I talk about is eye contact, because it can be that dramatic, the change in a dog. It just allows a dog to relax, basically, to remove a lot of our eye contact, which I know will come as a surprise to many people. So that's the sort of practical side of things.
Yeah.
And then if I think more about our connection, all our animals are so much more sensitive than we can possibly imagine, you know. And if we think about Reiki, if we think about distance Reiki, and those of us who know how effective and beautiful and powerful distance Reiki can be, we can sort of, if we step into that side of things, we can start to understand that our dogs can feel us, whatever we're doing, even though we're not right next to each other sometimes. Oh, you know, they can be at the other side of the house and they know how we're feeling and what state we're in. So that's what I would recommend to people, is really start to notice how our animals mirror our emotional and energetic states back to us, because they generally are.
You've answered a question I was going to ask you later.
Mm.
One of the things you said just now is that they can pick up our modes, moods, and they mirror it back.
Mm.
How? Why? I mean, how, you know, that's such a magical thing that they know, or sometimes their detriment if we're not in our best place. Why do you think that connection happens?
Oh, gosh, that's an interesting question. The why? Well, I think that dogs are actual angels on this planet. You know, I because of the deep relationships, the deep connections that I personally have had with my dogs, I honestly believe that they are here for a purpose in our human lives, to help us, to support us, to bring joy to our lives. That's how I've always seen it. And I think in a way, when they reflect how we're feeling, it's holding a mirror up to us and saying, you know, when they're, you know, some people might describe certain dog behaviors, for example, as naughty. Because, I don't know, they're barking too much at something, or counter surfing, or, you know, they're just a bit too energetic. But then I would always start to explore that with the person that they're with and see what it is. What is that connection between them? What is your dog trying to tell you? Because if they are bouncing off the walls, it's usually because of something in their environment. And that can be really useful for us to know, because, of course, we want to look after our dogs in the best way possible. The only thing we want is for our dogs to be happy. And if they're showing us that they need something different from us, if they need us to be a little bit calmer, for example, then not only does, if we can do that, if we can work on that personally, then not only does it make them happier, but that in turn makes us happier. So it's this circle of healing, I think, that our animals help us with.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I have a dog called Bria. She's a cockapoo. She's 7 now. Very intelligent. But what I do, and I'm sure people who've listened to me before, is I rescue cats off the street. And all the cats that I've brought in from a cat, like a 3-year-old to a kitten at 16 weeks, she's absolutely fine. You know, a nice large garden back and front, and she never goes somewhere, I think. But if a cat that has, she comes into my garden that is not one of my cats,
oh yeah,
she'll go bark, bark, bark. But people are like, how can she do that when you just take strangers' cats? Not strangers' cats, I take cats that are on, you know, left abandoned. Oh, yeah. But why does she know? And they're nice cats, the other cats that come in, but it's like, no.
Oh, this is part of the beauty of dogs. And this is because dogs naturally are family living animals. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I think it's incorrect to describe a dog as a social animal. I don't agree with that at all. I think a dog is a canine, is a family animal. So they're social within their family. This is what they love. They love being companions. That's, you know, they love being in a group. They love being with their family, who they know. They know every single cat that you bring in is now part of their group. Absolutely, they know that. So this is the family. This is the group. But it's very normal for a dog, and I'm sure your cats do this as well, to recognize strangers. And it's, you know, it's that old a phrase from my childhood, stranger danger. That's so relevant for dogs, and I'm sure cats as well. Mm. The moment they see human visitors, sometimes many dogs don't like human visitors for this reason, because it's a potential threat coming into the home. Mm. But absolutely, they can distinguish between their family cats and neighborhood cats.
It's just amazing. I had I got a phone call about one of them, Twiglet, her name is, and she was found in a garden with weak old kittens and everything. Anyway, she wouldn't settle. They put her in foster. The kittens found their home. She went up for her adoption. She came back and they said, would I have her, you know, just for a few days, just to give her a break? Well, that was like a bit of a challenge, because I love making cats that aren't feeling loved. Yeah. And bless her, she came in. She'd never been, well, obviously she's seen creatures in the wild. She saw dogs. She totally ignored it. And I thought this would be a problem, but it wasn't. And something you said earlier about dogs is don't look them all the time in the eyes, because that's quite confrontational. Mm. And with her, the only way to bring her down, to build her up, was to totally ignore her, to walk straight past her, never making any contact with her at all. Yeah. And slowly but surely, she'll now come into the lounge or whatever, and she gives me the slow double blink, and I'm like, yes!
Gorgeous.
Anyway, we've just got to pop over again to our sponsors, sure. But we'll be back very shortly for the, I can't believe how time's going, for the third part of this call.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back. Hey. So for pet owners at home, you sort of answered this, though. What's one simple way to start creating a calmer, energetic atmosphere for the animals? You know, just like a first off that they can do.
Well, I would suggest that less is always more when it comes to animals. I think over the last maybe 20 years, particularly in the life of domestic dogs, and it's probably to do with social media, you know, and all of the constant seeing things, you know, and scrolling and watching things. We don't have to keep doing with our animals. And actually, I think what's much more valuable is just being together and being companionable together. So that's something, rather than thinking, again, let's take dogs as an example, rather than thinking, this dog is bored because of that behaviour, or I need to tire him out because of another behaviour, actually, why not spend much more time doing nothing together?
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Just sit, just breathe. Yeah, if you breathe deeply, sat next to your animal, and just observe what happens. You know, this is part of one of the practices that I do in my animal Reiki classes. Just work on yourself. Just do less. Take time for yourself. Obviously, I'm going to say study Reiki because it's such a beautiful development path for us individually. And just allow your animals to be with you and join you when they want to, and observe the depth of their breathing pattern change as well. Generally, if we go, our animals will join us. Have I just made you yawn?
I know, but I am like that. You've got a very calming voice as well.
But you're very sensitive, Janine. So if you imagine how super sensitive our animals are, you know, it doesn't take much for them to really enjoy us bringing our nervous systems down, you know.
Yeah.
Just breathing together.
I'm obviously, I'm Ria's mum. And if I go away, she always goes to the same person. It's her second home. And the energy difference between her and me, like the first one, me, I'm a lot calmer, may not sound it now, but she sees Linda and she's like, oh, yeah. And she's always bouncing up. She's in the house. She's all around. I'm like, Ria, in your bed like this. And Linda's like, oh, don't be horrible to her. And I'm like, because I'm just thinking, no, she needs to calm down, because this is not actually any good for her in the long run when she comes back to me, which is a much calmer lifestyle. So yeah. I just want to say a few more things. One of the things that people may not know, and you've actually described it really well, how you deepen the bond with the animals. And I wonder if, you know, a lot of people are forever petting, stroking, and, you know, forever touching their animals. And I know by Ria, you know, it's great for a moment, you know, yay, hi, mum, but actually I need to go to sleep. Is that quite normal?
Is which bit normal? The sleeping bit?
So they're sleeping. As soon as you touch them, they're like, oh, right, okay, I can go to sleep now.
Oh, yeah, well, I think that's really individual to the animal, because one of the things one of the main points that I like to teach in animal Reiki is, as we started, we talked about consent, and that consent is about touch. And I think that is, I also talk about that in my dog behavior classes as well, you know, without, you know, depressing everybody, I'm going to suggest that our animals don't like cuddles as much as we do.
we as
humans, we really love touching our animals and cuddling them, and we would do it as much as possible, I'm sure. But for them, it's down to the individual, you know. And that's why I always, if I'm with a dog, Reiki or not, I will always stay where I am and invite them to me. And then they've got a choice to come and have a fuss with me or not.
Yeah, I see that.
And I think because I've worked with so many troubled animals and abused animals and traumatized animals, then that's very important for me to express, is to always to give the animal the choice to be touched, because somewhere in their past, the human touch may not have been as kind as, you know, we would.
I mean,
not
everyone gets a puppy from the beginning, and
no, you know, exactly,
a dog that's always been put in a rescue and has been loved by somebody or not loved, and then suddenly thought, well, what am I doing in here by myself? You know, that makes me want to cry. Actually,
they've all got their individual preferences, and it's up to us, I think, to prove ourselves trustworthy, that we will respect them, and if we need to, we can teach boisterous dogs how to also show us personal space respect as well. You know, that's part of the deal. It's a two-way process, but respect definitely needs you know, to be offered to our animals. I think that level of respect often gets stepped on because of our human needs that we are trying to fulfill, you know, in connection. Yeah. Whereas actually not all animals are ready to fulfill our needs. They need a bit of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know that as much as you're working with animals, I'm going to go back to square one. So if people want to work with you, how do they find you? But one of the things that you said to me when I started, I'm going to do the Reiki animal course, you said it will help you learn about, shift your relationships with your animals, obviously, but it will help you as well. Because in your courses, that's what you teach as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah. Well, just as an example, I generally teach my Reiki and Animal Reiki level 1 and 2 over 8 weeks online, which sometimes comes as a surprise to people. But I think that works really well, particularly when we're talking about animals, because where are animals at their most relaxed? In their home. So, and, you know, we've got some learning to do with them. And if I know one thing about animals, we can't rush them. So teaching over 8 weeks, you know, online, and I'm teaching the people, because the animals already know what's going on. Animals already know their own language. They already know much more about their own healing than we do. So it's we humans that are catching up. The first week of homework is actually looking into, how do we meditate? How comfortable are we meditating and breathing just for ourselves? And I'm saying, actually, I actively do not want you to be with your animals while you do this first week, because I want you to really look at you and yourself and where you're at. And then, because the reason I ask people to do that is that whole connection and what we talked about earlier about the mirror, you know, our animals are so connected to our state of mind, our state of emotion, our state of being. All they want is for us to be our best selves. So that's part of animal Reiki, in my view, is stepping even further towards being our best selves for the benefit of our animals.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have one story about a cat that I found in the alley. Well, found it. I knew he was living, and he had. I got the phone call. He got a broken paw, broken tail. I gave up. I just went and got him. You know, and it was pouring with rain. So now, whenever it's raining, he won't go out. I don't know if he thinks I'll never let him back in again. Mm. But so one of the things I'm looking forward to looking at your and going through your courses. The ability to connect on that level for me to understand. Obviously, I understand that he doesn't want to go out because it's raining, but I feel that maybe being able to Reiki him when this happens from afar, like you said, distance, that would help him, do you think?
I think Reiki can help anything, can't it? You know, there's so much potential in the connection that you create, human to animal, that... We don't know the power and you know the effect of Reiki, but it has that potential to improve your connection, your relationship, your way of communicating, and yeah. Let's see, Janine. Let's see what
I'm going to be telling. I'll have my own radio show, a whole episode on my cat and Reiki. So where can people find you?
So my handle is Calm Kind Happy. So my website is calmkindhappy.co.uk. Instagram is calm_kind_happy. So it's all a variant of Calm Kind Happy.
And that brings us to the end of another beautiful episode with Ellie Carrington. A heartfelt thank you to you for being my guest, for sharing your wisdom, warmth, and your absolute connection to animals, and what you know and how you can share it. I felt this is really good. So if you want to learn anything more about Ali's animal Reiki courses, we will be putting it on the website, but when I start to share this everywhere, I will put all her details in. So I hope today's conversation inspires you to slow down, listen more deeply, and honor the animals around you. They are truly our teachers. So thank you, Ellie, for coming on.
Thank you so much, Janine. It's been a joy. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way.
I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.